you would this morning, open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 52. Can you hear me okay, Carla? Okay. If you can, then I'll turn it up a little bit. Isaiah chapter 52. We're going to look at the Isaiah prophecy this morning. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall not see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, you shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That was one of the prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah lived on the earth somewhere between 740 and 681 BC. How can we be sure who Isaiah is talking about here? We can look at the New Testament to find the answer. I got to thinking what would be the best place in the New Testament to go to first. Then it came to me as I studied a little farther. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and I'm sorry, you might want to put your marker in your Bible back at Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, because we're going to be flipping back and forth here in just a minute. It was Isaiah 52 and 53. Then after you've marked that, let's look at Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Can you have any doubt in your mind after reading that who Isaiah is talking about? Verse 35 is crystal clear. He's talking about Jesus. We'll go through some more scriptures, and we'll start at the beginning. Isaiah 52 and verse 13. Isaiah 52 and verse 13. I'll probably go through these a little quick, so if you've got your marker in your Bible, we can flip back there. 52 and verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Let's compare that to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isaiah 52 and verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Let's compare that to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 20. Romans 15 and verse 20. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he has not announced shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. Let's compare it also to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 4. By which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Let's compare that to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 37 and 38. John 12 and verse 37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Let's look at Romans 10 and verse 16. Romans chapter 10 and verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Isaiah 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Let's look at Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Let's look at Matthew 8 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all those who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Let's also look at John 19 and verse 7. John chapter 19 and verse 7. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Let's look at Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like a sheep gone astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Isaiah 53 and verse 7, he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 12. Matthew 27 and verse 12. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? And he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Isaiah 53 and verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Let's turn back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 38. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. Let's also look at 57, verse 57 of chapter 27. Verse 57, now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and when Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb which he had hewn out of a rock, and he rolled the large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Let's also turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. This time verse 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And verse 14. John 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Also, let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Let's compare that to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verses 38 and 39. Matthew 26 and verse 38. Then he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell down on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And verse 42, he went away again a second time and prayed, O Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Let's look at Mark chapter 15 and verse 28. Mark chapter 15 and verse 28. We'll go ahead and read 27 too. And with him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left, so that the scripture was fulfilled which says, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And let's look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And starting at verse 3. Galatians 1 and verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Turn back to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we'll start at verse 27. We're going to go ahead and read the rest of the story this morning. Matthew 27 and verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off and put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments and cast lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put over his head an accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come save him." Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and when Pilate commanded the body to be given to him, and when Joseph had taken the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb which he had hewn out of the rocks, and rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, so the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, You have a guard. Go your way and make it secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, I know whom you seek, Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I want you to consider this morning that Isaiah's prophecy was given between 740 and 681 B.C. The other scriptures that we looked at this morning were spoken between 0 and 70 A.D. Now that means there was somewhere between 681 and 810 years from when Isaiah prophesied and when the prophecy was fulfilled. Look at the number of men that wrote of the things that Isaiah spoke about. We looked at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, and the Hebrew writer. And they all tell the same Jesus that Isaiah spoke of. Let's go back to Acts chapter 8 and see what happened to the Ethiopian. Acts chapter 8. We'll start at verse 28. Again, the Ethiopian was returning from Jerusalem, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth, and his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth? So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, to whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And what happened after he preached Jesus to him? As they went down the road, they came near some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This same Jesus that we talked about this morning is the Jesus whose blood washed away the Ethiopian eunuch's sins and can wash away your sins today. We encourage you this morning to come forward and have your sins washed away by that same blood that was shed on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. If you are here this morning and you've heard the Word of God, you've studied the Word of God, you know what you have to do in order to be pleasing in His sight. You have to confess the name of Jesus, confess that He is the Lord and Savior, the Son of God, and you believe with all your heart the words that are spoken, and you believe in Jesus. You want to repent of your sins and turn away from your sins and try to live a life anew and be baptized, be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, be raised without your sins, and start again and try to live righteously until either death comes or Christ returns, then we can help you with that this morning. The water's ready. We're ready to assist you. If there's someone here that needs the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we can help you with that too, if you'll come forward and let us know as we stand and sing.